Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope that your week is off to a great start. Let me just start off by acknowledging my awareness that I have not posted an episode in about a month, and that has been because I had an unexpected death in my family. One of my favorite cousins passed away very unexpectedly. So rest in peace, Nicole. And I have, you know, taken some time to be with my family and just reflect. And so that's one of the things that I really try to convey to people, that although I am a psychologist or whatever role I serve in professionally, I'm still human. And so I really advocate for self-care. And so that's what I've been doing, is just trying to spend some time with my family and really taking time to reflect. But let's get into today's topic. We will be talking about 8 ways to entangle-proof your relationship. If you've been on the internet, you have probably been bombarded with memes about entanglement. And really what that's stemming from is this whole situation between Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith, and August Alsina. So I won't go into that. I don't know them personally, so I cannot speak to their situation. But what I can do is just give you a quick summary of what the media is saying about the situation, or a summary of what they themselves have been saying, and really focus on what we will be talking about. So apparently there has been a situation where someone was involved in an extramarital relationship, and that relationship was called an entanglement. And so we will be talking about ways that you can entangle-proof your relationship. And so I will be sharing with you some very important things for you to think about on an individual level and also on a relational level. But before we get into the specifics of what I'll be sharing today, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share this episode. And also let me know how you have recovered from an entanglement in your relationship, or ways that you entangle-proof your relationship. You can reach me on IG at Dr. Q Perry. So before we jump in, I do want to say that all of these tips may not apply to you or your relationship, but take what you need and share the rest. And also, something else to keep in mind is that obviously these tips are not for someone who is in an abusive relationship, or who is in a situation where there is perpetual cheating and disrespect. And so I don't want you to be deceived into thinking that if you apply all of these steps, that that's going to keep someone from cheating. The reality is that there's nothing you can do to keep someone who does not want to be kept. And so that's not healthy for you to try to put the entire burden on yourself of responsibility to manage a relationship and keep a relationship when the other person is really doing all that they can to work against you. All right, so that's that. So the first tip is not surprising. If you are a listener of my show, you know that the first thing that I always recommend is prayer. I think we often do a disservice to ourselves as it comes to relationships, because I think a lot of times we pursue relationships and then we include God afterwards, or we are in relationships that maybe start out as healthy, but when they start to get into unhealthy territory, we don't really think about including God in that aspect of the relationship. And so sometimes I think we try to make relationships work that God does not want us to be in the first place. So My first tip is to pray. I want you to pray through these tips. Pray about your relationship. Pray about the direction that God has for your life individually and as a couple. And I know that when you do that, He will reveal to you what His will is. Because the reality is, one way that God may entangle-proof your relationship is to have you to get out of it. That may sound harsh and that may be disappointing, but in the end, we have to remember that God always has our best in mind. And so my first tip is to pray. Second tip I have is to discuss relationship boundaries. When we do that, it starts with knowing what our personal boundaries are. What boundaries do you have for yourself? And then how do those show up or not show up when you're in a relationship? I think oftentimes we can get really caught up into a relationship and we love this person and we don't want this person to leave. And so then what happens is we're very willing to compromise our boundaries when we get into a relationship because we don't want to offend the other person. We don't want the other person to go running into the arms of someone else. And so it's really important to have conversations about what boundaries will we have for our relationship. Just because you've had a certain set of boundaries in a previous relationship or they've had a certain set of boundaries and expectations in their previous relationships, it doesn't mean that that's what's best for y'all's particular relationship. You know, you can discuss things like social media etiquette. What do we both think is appropriate for social media? Will we share our social media passwords? Are we okay with exes still being in the picture? One question that often couples don't discuss until after it happens is, how do we both define cheating? How do we both define disrespect? Are we going to have an open relationship? Is there an expectation that when we're mad at one another, that's an open pass to do what we want to do? Are we going to give each other passes to mess around from time to time on certain holidays and birthdays and things like that? Once you all define your boundaries in a relationship, then you have to go a little bit deeper and ask one another, how are we going to respond, or how do you expect us to respond and react when those boundaries have been crossed? Right? How are we going to address those? And part of that boundary discussion is looking at our sexual needs and desires, right? We think that because there is a physical attraction or because there is an emotional attachment or we have a lot of things in common, something that's not discussed is like sexual needs and desires. Right? Is one person celibate in the relationship and the other person not? Is one person more sexually open and willing to explore certain things and the other person is not? Those are some things that really make a difference in a relationship. And so they are often not openly discussed. These are things that are just assumed. And if they are not just assumed, sometimes we have people who go along with certain things, even though it really crosses their boundaries, right? And so I'm actually going to do a whole podcast episode on sex and relationships and openness and things like that. So stay tuned for that episode, right? So we want to start out by prayer and praying continually throughout our interactions and our relationships. We also want to discuss relationship boundaries. Then we want to be realistic about love and relationships. I know typically we might have created a fairy tale in our minds about our ideal partner, about our ideal relationship, or the image that we want people to have about our relationship, which can get in the way of us truly addressing the realities that we face in the relationship or making very important decisions. We sometimes get so worried or caught up with, we want people to think that we are the hashtag relationship goals couple, when the reality is that's just not what's going on in our relationship. And so when we are able to be realistic about love, when we're able to be realistic about relationships, then we're able to really address things in an appropriate way. Some common unrealistic ideals that I think people come into relationships with are, my partner would never cheat on me, if we love each other, we'll never cheat, or the right partner is going to meet all of my needs. Yes, I think in some ways those are some very hopeful aspirations, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I do think we have to take those assumptions and ideals and line them up with God's word. God's word tells us how to handle conflict and how to think about people and ourselves in a healthy way. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. I think we can add suffering to the inevitable pain that we all experience in life when our love for someone else becomes an idol and that person ends up on the throne of our hearts. You know, I think it's painful for you and unfair to the other person to be on the throne of your heart because they cannot meet all of your needs. The Word of God tells us that God is the only one who can meet all of our needs. And so when we're in relationships and we have this expectation that we do everything together, we talk about every single thing, that the person is going to make you happy, that they're responsible for your emotions, and that they'll never disappoint you, your partner will never cheat on you. And yes, those are, again, those are some ideal aspirations, but the reality is you will disappoint them unintentionally. They will disappoint you unintentionally. And so it's really important as Christians when we're in relationships, whether we're married or dating, that we have a proper perspective of the relationship and where it sits in proportion to your relationship with God. You don't want to get so caught up into pleasing the other person that you're not able to hear from God, that God is not able to penetrate through your heart and get through to you. Another passage of scripture that's really comforting and really powerful as it relates to relationships and having a proper perspective about relationships is found in Psalms chapter 62, verses 5 through 8. And this is the Passion Translation. It says, "I'm standing in absolute stillness, silent before the one I love, waiting as long as it takes for him to rescue me. Only God is my Savior, for he will not fail me. For he alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me as my champion defender. There's no risk of failure with God. So why would I let worry paralyze me, even when troubles multiply around me? God's glory is all around me. His wraparound presence is all I need. For the Lord is my Savior, my hero, and my life-giving strength. Join me, everyone. Trust only in God every moment. Tell him all your troubles and pour out your heart longings to him. Believe me when I tell you, he will help you." These verses are so powerful because I think for me, it's a reminder that I can go to God with everything, that God will see me, that God will meet my needs. And it doesn't mean that God won't meet your needs through your partner, but it's also just a reminder that only God can meet all of your needs. And so what that does is keep your heart and your mind set with proper expectations, and it also removes the pressure from the other person to be your everything, because they just can't do it. Even if they want to do it, even if you want to do it, it's just not possible, because that's not the way that God designed us. He designed us to lean and depend on him for everything, and then he will meet our needs as he sees fit through different people. Right? So I don't want you to take from these verses or this particular tip that you shouldn't trust someone or that you shouldn't fully love them. But what it does do is that it places all of your emotions and your thoughts and expectations in proper perspective as it relates to God. Okay? So our next tip is to communicate openly and honestly. Now, this tip is cliche, right? Every relationship coach or relationship expert, anybody who has ever known anything about relationships tell you, oh, the key to a successful relationship is communication, right? And it is a very important ingredient for any healthy relationship. But I want to take this one a little bit deeper because there are some things that are often overlooked that make communicating hard to do. As a psychologist who specializes in relationship dynamics and conflict, I've observed how hard it is to be open and honest with someone if you've never learned how to do that. If you've been taught that being honest results in chaos and loss. It's also hard to do with someone if you're not honest with yourself or if you're hiding in your own relationship with God. So this tip requires you to stop and think about yourself and reflect, am I open with myself? Do I try to acknowledge my own feelings? Do I have an open relationship with God where I feel like I can be honest and vulnerable with God? And that's a very good starting place, because as soon as you start to get the hang of vulnerability in your relationships with yourself and with God, then I think you'll start to have emotional and spiritual maturity that can tolerate and invite that level of transparency in others. And not only that, you'll know how to appropriately respond to it. One of the main pieces of feedback that I've gotten from couples is that one person desperately wants you to communicate. They want you to be honest. They say, just tell me. I don't care what it is. Just tell me. And then when that person goes out on a limb and they tell you, the response is something that is damaging. And I don't think it's intentionally damaging, but it's damaging nevertheless. And so I think if we learn how to be honest and learn how to be vulnerable in our relationships with ourselves and with God, then we'll be able to grow into grace. We'll be able to know how to respond in a way that's validating and that positively reinforces someone for telling you the truth. And I think that's where a lot of couples get into entanglements, because there is not an environment where the person can truly be open and honest and it not result in a lot of chaos and or loss. You know, there's a lot of information out there, research even, that says couples fight over money, they fight over sex, they fight over kids and all these kinds of things. But I love what one of the well-renowned psychologist, Dr. John Gottman, clarifies for us. He says that that's not what couples are talking about the most. What couples are talking about the most is nothing, right? And that is so, so, so true, because I think couples get into this place of not talking about issues, and they think that by not addressing them, they don't have to deal with it. And in the short term, they don't. You don't have to deal with things in the short term if they're not addressed. But in the long term, the reality is those things don't go away and they manifest in other ways. And so when things are not openly discussed, if there are issues that are not addressed and we just move on with life, those are the breeding grounds for entanglements. It's not guarantee. It's not a causation type of thing, but those are just some of the small things that turn into big things that can set the stage for those types of things to occur. So we're praying about our relationship. We are being realistic about love and relationship. We're discussing our relationship boundaries. We're doing our best to communicate openly and honestly. Now we also have to consider knowing our personal values. In the same way that we need to know our personal boundaries, we need to also know our personal values. And this is critical because it'll help you have a rubric for your life. Knowing your values will help you to know the type of ministry that you need to be in, the kind of career opportunities that you should pursue, the kinds of friendships and romantic relationships that you attach yourself to. But I do want to say this, as Christians, once we identify our values, we have to make sure that we align them with the Word of God, because there are times when our values, honestly, are contrary to God's best for us. I mean, and that makes sense, because our values are shaped by our life experiences. One example that I'll use is, let's say maybe in my past, I have witnessed my dad cheating on my mom and lying and being dishonest to her. Or maybe in my past, I have had a string of relationships where the person was not honest with me. And so now my value is honesty. I just want honesty. I just want that no matter what, the person tells me what's going on. And so I may value honesty, but if I don't align that value with the Word of God, I may make a decision that is not what's God's best for me. So just because I value honesty, does that mean that a person being honest with me about cheating, that I'm obligated to stay in that situation if it's hurting me? No, I don't think that that necessarily means that. And so the value should not be based only on your past experiences, but based on what is God's best for you, right? So we have to put those values into context and align them with the Word of God. Okay. When we do that, it's going to do two things for us. And one of those things is that it can open up the door for healthy conversation with your partner about his or her values. So when I know my values and I have aligned them with the Word of God, I can also have a very healthy and open conversation with my partner about his or her values, right? So just because we both say we value the same thing, we may prioritize it or we may handle it differently, right? So let's say using that same example of honesty, I may say, I want you to tell me everything. I want you to tell me, you know, if you're getting to a place where you are thinking about cheating on me, I want to know those things. Well, the other person may think that honesty is, I don't say anything until I'm caught and then I'll tell you everything, right? So do you see how those values may manifest differently? And so if we don't discuss those things ahead of time, then it's hard to know. Now, I do realize that it's not possible to think of every single scenario in the world and try to talk about it ahead of time. I don't mean to be that concrete, but what I am saying is that it is better to have an open dialogue about a lot of things that set the foundation for your relationship. And that way you're able to make a decision in prayer that says, maybe this person does value honesty, but it seems like my value in honesty may manifest in a different way than what this person is used to. And maybe that won't be a healthy relationship for me. Okay. So knowing your values and aligning them with God's values will open up the door for healthy conversation in your relationship. And it will also help you to stay disciplined and make decisions that are based on those values. So let's say I value safety, and that value is going to keep me from giving myself permission to put my hands on somebody and then justifying it because they hurt me. Okay, so if I value safety, whatever is going on, that means I'm still going to do what I need to do to keep myself safe and to make sure that I am also keeping other people safe. Okay, other people also highly value loyalty and commitment. And I've talked to so many people who say, you know, that they wish they had it in them to cheat on their spouse if their spouse has cheated on them. But the fact that they highly value loyalty and commitment, they just can't do it. So those are the types of things that help you to stay disciplined and help you to make decisions based on those values, right? So when you truly have your own values and you hold on to them, you hold on to them for you regardless of what the other person does. That's why there are so many times where one person cheats. And the other person, even if they really, really, really want to get you back, right, you just can't, because that's not in you. That's something that you value. It goes against what your morals and beliefs are. Knowing your values gives you that internal moral compass, and it's there for a reason. Okay, that is there for a reason. When your relationship gets on rocky ground, and it will, because that's just the nature of relationships, you have to say, okay, I do need to acknowledge and have compassion for myself while I'm going through this difficult time in my relationship, but I also have to have enough emotional and spiritual maturity to think this through. Yes, it may feel good right now, for example, to get some attention from somebody else, but what will that cost me in the end? I think what's more hurtful is when we give ourselves permission to soothe our pain with something or someone that may feel good momentarily, but it does even more damage to yourself and other people later on. And usually when we get into entanglements, somebody else is tied into our hurt and pain, and it just becomes a lot of extra pain that we have to sift through later. So it's really important that we know our values. Another tip is to make sure you're not unequally yoked. Again, this is another one that has become cliche, but it is very important to make sure that you're not unequally yoked. Being unequally yoked can mean one person is a believer and the other person is not. And I don't even have to go into the details on how many times we, as Christians, make the assumption that we can change someone if we pray for them hard enough, if we show them and we model those things for that person. I'm not saying that that cannot happen, but what you have to understand is fundamentally, you cannot do that. Only God can change a person's heart, and only God can help that person's convictions change and turn their life in a different direction. And so I think we have to also be very careful about being in situations like that, because we end up getting hurt thinking that we can change someone or we can love someone into change. And I'm not saying that that has never happened, or again, that it won't happen, but you have to be very clear about the reality of that, especially if that person is showing you that that is not something that they want. And even if they do want it, maybe it may not be the time or the season for them to make those changes. But that's another episode and that's another discussion. I do want to make it clear that being unequally yoked can also mean you have partners who are both Christians, but they have a different set of convictions and goals, right? So you may have people who say, you know what? Yeah, I believe in God. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I've accepted him into my life. And the differences may start to show up in areas like celibacy. I don't see anything wrong with us living together and having sex before marriage. I'll just ask for forgiveness. Whereas the other person says, you know, I don't think I want to live like that. I think I want to be celibate. I think I don't want to live together until we get married. So those are some things that can come up. You may also find that it shows up in the areas of money. Let's say maybe one person values money a lot, but if we don't use the word of God to help us know what to do with the money, then we're going to bump heads. One person may say, I want us to tithe our money to the local church. I want us to be charitable and give to different organizations or different people who are in need. One person may say, one way that I want to steward my money is by paying our bills on time so that we're not perpetually in debt and getting late fees and things like that. Whereas the other person says, you know what? I value money too, but I value it in spending. I want to buy the finest things. I want to have the finest experiences. And so when we're not equally yoked, and we won't agree on every single thing, but you do have to be able to look at your relationship and find out, are there fundamental differences in my relationship that I'm overlooking just to say that I'm in a relationship, or just to stay in a relationship because we've been in it so long and all we really have is time invested? And so you really want to make sure that you're not unequally yoked with someone, because eventually those are the types of things that lead people outside of their relationship to find something that fits with what they're really looking for, right? If you have relationship goals that don't fit with the other person, maybe this person sees themselves as being married and having two kids, and the other person says, I don't know that I want kids, or if I do want kids, I want us to be married for a certain amount of time before we have kids. How do we include other people in our relationships? Maybe we have a relationship where one family is very, very involved and the other person thinks, I don't know that I want to have both of our families that involved or enmeshed into our romantic relationship. Again, those are the kinds of conversations and things that you have to consider, because when they're not discussed, these are the types of situations that can add up and be a breeding ground for seeking satisfaction and seeking comfort in other people outside of their relationship. Our seventh tip is to tie up your loose ends. Where I see a lot of couples get entangled is when one partner, or both partners for that matter, don't tie up loose ends with their exes or other people who they were seeing prior to the relationship. And I think this is because there is a deception that you can still have a lot of contact with someone who's had a romantic or sexual interest in you in the past, and you can confide in that person or you can continue to communicate with that person regularly. Now, I'm not saying that you should go on a rampage and block every single person that you've ever dealt with, but I think this has to be done in prayer, right? I think that if that's something that God wants you to do, if God is asking you to close some doors, and I think you have to be obedient in that area. You know, there is a difference between a person who is a mutual friend that maybe you've dated in the past and there's clearly no more emotional attachments, there's no soul ties there anymore. I think that's different than someone who is still waiting in the wings for their chance. They're just waiting to catch you at a vulnerable moment. Right. And it's one thing to have an ex who maybe sends text messages every now and then, or maybe send a DM on birthdays or holidays and things like that. And another than to have a person who is still liking every single picture that you have on social media. They're making flirtatious comments. They're saying demeaning things about your current partner and being disrespectful and calling and texting and things like that. So you really have to be prayerful and honest as you do a relationship inventory about the people that you still have in your life, because those, again, are some loose ends that have to be tied up, because it can help prevent entanglement, especially when your relationship gets vulnerable. And part of that tying up loose ends, let me just say this. So that's covering up the back end of it. But it's also really good to make sure that you're not still exploring your options while you're still connected with somebody else, right? If the relationship is getting to the point where you're not sure that you want to be in it, that's a conversation that you need to have with yourself and be honest and have a conversation with that other person, right? Because again, you're starting to bring in other people who may be unaware of what's going on. They might be aware of what's going on. But in the end, you've got a lot of people who end up really, really hurt and broken because ends are not tied up from the past. And we're also opening doors and still exploring things while one person is deceived into thinking that we are an exclusive relationship. Okay. And our eighth and final tip is to guard your gates. Okay, this is similar to tying up your loose ends, but I do think it's important to specifically state that we have to be careful who you confide in. We all need someone to confide in outside of our relationship, right? Because again, that person can't meet all of your needs. And it's okay to talk to someone, but make sure that the friend or family member who you talk to is for the relationship, if it's a healthy relationship, let me say that. But make sure that person is for the relationship. Make sure that it's not someone who is going to encourage you to do your own thing, who is not going to encourage you, well, I'll just take your mind off of it and we can go out tonight and you can do whatever and we'll have fun. So you want to make sure that the people who you're confiding in is someone who also shares your same values and someone who will hold you accountable. If you go to your friend and say, you know, I've been texting my ex or I've been texting this new person, and it's not that your friend is going to be judgy and tell you, you know, slap you on the wrist and tell you, oh, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing that. But it's someone who will love you enough to ask you those hard questions. Do you think that you should really be doing that? Do you think that this is something that could potentially get out of hand and get you entangled, right? And so you really want to make sure that the people you're confiding in also don't have selfish motives, right? Because that means that's going to play into the type of advice that they give you and how they receive you when you come to them in a vulnerable moment. And so these are things that may not be apparent, right? But I think this is where your discernment comes in, because God will show you if this person has your or your relationship's best interest at heart. All right. So this is not an exhaustive list, but these are definitely some sound ways to entangle-proof your relationship. I hope you found them to be helpful, and we will now move into Dr. Q's couch. I don't have a specific scenario, but I do want to address a question that is frequently asked about entanglements. And that question is, can our relationship really recover from an affair? And my answer to that is it depends, right? There are a lot of factors that play into truly healing from an affair. Let me say this. Professionally and personally, I've seen it happen. Do I think that any relationship can recover? Absolutely. But there are a lot of things that have to be considered for that to happen. And I think sometimes people are not willing to put that kind of work in, right? So I think there is the assumption that to get over an affair, all I have to do is just forgive this person. I need to do my very, very best to forgive this person. I don't need to think about it. All I need to do is just pray and forgive this person and move on. And then people get confused because they're wondering, well, why am I still having these emotions? Why am I still being triggered by certain thoughts? Why do I still get angry at the thought of this person being unfaithful to me? And then the other person is thinking, why are you continuing to bring this up? Well, it's usually because it's never really been fully processed. And so if it hasn't been processed, I don't think that there can be true healing at the heart level that actually makes healing and forgiveness and a recovery from an affair possible, right? There's the assumption a lot of times that, well, I apologize, so I don't know what else I can do. I mean, I apologize. You're still bringing it up. I don't know what else I can do. And then both people end up very, very frustrated because the person who apologized is saying, I'm tired of apologizing. You either will forgive me and move on, or I'm done, which to the other person is more damaging because they're thinking, I'm trying very hard to move on. I can't. And so a lot of times, I'm not saying that it's always required, but I do think it's a very, very good idea to have a trained professional third party to help you move through those things, because your goal is not to get the relationship back to where it was. Your goal is to get a new relationship. Let's explore some of the things that led to the affair. And that part is not a blaming. Oh, well, you weren't giving me enough sex, or you wouldn't communicate with me, or whatever those things were. Maybe those are some factors. And so it's not a matter of blaming, but it's really just informational, right? It's really just informational. So that way the couple can start to set some boundaries and put some different gates up around the relationship to keep those certain things from happening, right? And so there's a lot that goes on, and it's beyond the scope of this particular episode, but I definitely do think a relationship can heal from an affair, and there are other things that are included in healing from an affair beyond forgiveness, and also that includes reconciliation. So forgiveness is one, and reconciliation takes two. And so there are times when recovering from an affair means that healing takes place and the couple is separated, okay? So those are the things that you have to be mindful of. You have to pray through those things. You have to really look at what God's plan is for this relationship. And again, it's really, really, really a good idea to get a trained third party to help you work through an entanglement. Let us move on to our prayer time. Father God, thank you just for another day in your presence. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to talk about these topics that easily separate us from doing the things that we know that we truly have in our hearts to do. God, we ask that you would give us a sense of integrity where we are able to know our values, where we're able to align them with your word, where we're able to honor you and ourselves by being honest with others, by keeping our bodies pure, keeping our minds and our thoughts pure, keeping our relationships in right standing with you. God, we just ask that you would reveal any areas of our lives that are in need of healing, that are in need of exposure for that healing to take place. And so we just ask if there are any couples who want to recover from an entanglement, that you give them the grace to do so. And whether that mean the end result is staying together or if that end result is separating, we pray that it can be done gracefully and in truth. And it is in your name that we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that is our episode for today. I will be sure to put the scriptures that I refer to today in the show notes, and I will also put links to some great books that you can look at for relationship recovery from an affair, and also a link to my book, The Emotion Devotional, which is also very, very powerful in helping you to be able to manage a lot of the emotions that come up surrounding entanglement and things like that. Until next time, take care.